Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 305. Man, we are flying through this Tuesday morning. Am I more than you bought in for it? I've been dying to tell you anything you want to hear. I'm feeling good. I sang in the car. That's what it was. You know, I felt like listening to music for 5 minutes. And so I was singing a little bit in the car, and now I'm in sing mode. And I feel like it warmed me up, warmed the pipes up. Might have to sing a little bit the last few minutes before I get in here. I have to tell you, I'm open to saying this. It's no problem. My wife, we watched Wicked, and the whole soundtrack, the entire soundtrack is like, okay. It's not great. You know, she loved the popular song. It's okay. I am popular. Like, it's okay. The whole soundtrack, okay. Defying Gravity at the end, I'm not kidding, it gives me goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps. And I've heard the version from the Adina Menzel, the original broadcast, Broadway play. And obviously that brought her into prominence and fame, and now she's done Let It Go with Frozen and everything. But I'll tell you, the movie version is better. She's an incredible singer. And not that I was trying to sing that because I can't, but I've been listening to it like nonstop. It gives me goosebumps.
Listen, there's a lot of videos of people attempting to Defying Gravity high note on the heels of the movie. So you can throw one in.
But the way she's like, and if you care to find me, look to the look, like she rides one word right into the other. It's like so good. I can't stop listening to it. All right, enough of that. 888-808-1019. I do love it though. And For Forever from Dear Evan Hansen, another great song. I've been listening to like Broadway musicals lately. I don't know. I'm a multifaceted dude. We were just talking about Joe Beningo.
Are you excited for Wicked Part 2 now? You're going to go to the theater?
I don't know if I'll go to the theater, especially now because Wicked came out very quickly on Amazon for $20. I'd rather just do that.
Have you ever seen the musical on Broadway?
I have not. No, I have not.
So you have no idea what's coming in the second act?
I've heard because my wife had seen it and she can't, you know, not tell me these things, but I saw a video, so I know there's things coming that answer questions about what's to come on The Wizard of Oz. Like pretty much, it tells you what people become what people, and so I've heard rumor. I kind of have an idea. I don't know how exactly it all happens, but I do have an idea of how we all end at the end of the thing. But it's about the music. I mean, you don't need to know exactly what, you know. It's not like, oh, spoiler alert, it's going to ruin the whole thing for you. As long as it's well done, and again, Defying Gravity, I'm not kidding. I feel like The Rock walking out for his entrance at Raw or something. I get the goosebumps. It gives me goosebumps. I'm not ashamed to admit it. It's that good. The other song is not so great, but Defying Gravity is freaking awesome. At the end of that movie, when she flies up like right in front of them and sings that song, I was like, man, I got emotional. It was awesome. And I thought Goldblum did a great job as the wizard. Like that, I thought he was excellent. Just the whole, like, even that whole final 20 minutes of the movie kicked ass. All right. Let's see what else kicks ass right here on The Fan, 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys and maybe the New York Giants, as we were just talking about the division and how good we expect Washington to be and how good we always expect Philadelphia to be. And now Dallas finds itself in a transition as Mike McCarthy has not been retained and he could not, they didn't even get to contract negotiations. And first off, like, I don't know how it works necessarily. I know they were in the process of having contract negotiations, or at least were going to have contract negotiations. Apparently, it never even got to the point where they were discussing numbers or a contract. But a couple days ago, they denied the Bears an opportunity to speak to him. I think he's going to speak to him now. But it just seems like, Jerry, if you don't have a, if you're not even talking contract with the guy, never mind. It just seems the whole thing is a ridiculous process anyway. But he is out, and obviously, we talked about him going to the Jets. I think that would be a great hire for the Jets. They need to talk to Mike McCarthy without question. I run the whole thing back. McCarthy, Rodgers, the whole bit. I want some winning. But rumors are that the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones has reached out to Deion Sanders. And that Prime and Jerry have spoken. And there's a somewhat of a mutual interest. Now, I guess Deion did talk to Adam Schefter and said, whenever Jerry calls, you answer the phone. I have utmost respect for him and the organization. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll continue to talk. But, you know, I love being here in Colorado, whatever. It didn't sound like, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm sticking in Colorado. But we'll see what happens. But I'll tell you this. Considering all the ramifications of what that brings, I find it very interesting if Deion Sanders is the next coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Because obviously his son is one of the two quarterbacks in a two-quarterback draft coming out here. And he has been out there and said publicly the only way he would end up coaching in the NFL is if he would be able to coach his sons. Now, if that's the thought process, and for this thing to work, somehow Dallas has to acquire Shador Sanders somehow in the draft here. I think that opens up a possibility for the New York Giants at number three, because there's also been Deion Sanders saying, like, it's been like overly reported that Deion would, you know, pull a Manning or a Elway and try and dictate where he goes, and he's kind of downplayed that a little bit. But he also talked about there are, it's not so much where he wants to go. I think the quote was, it's not so much where I want my son to play, but maybe there's a couple of places that I wouldn't want my son to play. Now, I don't know if the perpetual losing Cleveland Browns would be one of those spots, or the Tennessee Titans would be one of those spots at 1 and 2. But the Giants sit in number three right now. That could be a very interesting conversation with the Dallas Cowboys, because the Dallas Cowboys are picking 12th, far too low in the draft to get Sanders, to get his son. Now, if you want to move up, you're obviously, to go draft the quarterback, you're going to move on from Dak and his contract. So I don't know, like, you would say, oh, we'll just move up to 2 with Cleveland. Like, if Deion's going to pull a stunt and say, hey, Cleveland, Shador is not going there. He's coming to the Dallas. He's coming to Dallas one way or another. Like, he's not going. Oh, we'll just trade with the Browns. Well, the main chip here to trade is Dak Prescott. You have to figure out a way to move on from Dak. So, like, is it the craziest thing for the New York Giants if Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys to trade for Dak Prescott, to move back to 12 from 3? Trade for Dak Prescott, get more picks, allow Deion Sanders and the Cowboys to move up to 3. From there, you can play your shenanigans and say, hey, Cleveland, I'm not signing him. Or from 3, find a package that Cleveland would be interested in for moving back only one pick, and they know it's going to be Shador, who wouldn't play for them anyway. So at 3, there's an opportunity for the Cleveland Browns. Like, say Tennessee loves Cam Ward, or they're going to pick one of the two anyway, and even if, you know, Shador, even if Prime tells them Shador isn't going there, okay, we'll pick Cam. Like, they might pick at number one, but that 2 spot with Cleveland, who's obviously dealing with their own quarterback situation, Watson just re-tore his Achilles heel, but his cap money's crazy. They can't afford Dak at the moment, I wouldn't think. And if they're told, hey, Shador's not coming there, he's not signing, they might be open to move that pick. And the Cowboys can do a hell of a lot better trying to figure that out from 3 than they can 12. And I would have hated this idea a mere week ago, a mere 2 weeks ago. I would have hated this idea. I don't want Dak Prescott. I want a young drafted quarterback that Brian Daboll can get his hands on and mold and try and go and win with the young quarterback and not have to pay the quarterback and put the money around him, put the money in the offensive line, put the money in the defense, put the money in different spots and have a rookie quarterback on a rookie contract. That's what I wanted. And then I heard John Mara speak. And John Mara wants to win now. And John Mara, it sounds like, isn't going to give Brian Daboll the opportunity to do that. Because if you look at the schedule next year and the idea of the Giants drafting either Sanders or Ward or Dart or whomever and trying to attack next year with a rookie quarterback, good luck with the schedule they have presented. It's going to be a down year, especially with a rookie quarterback. I don't see Jaden Daniels kind of impact from one of these quarterbacks, not first year, at least. And if I don't think Brian Daboll is going to make it through this process, then what the hell are we doing anyway? So if you are looking to win next year, if you are looking to compete right away, and I look at some of the pieces the Giants have, and I know they have a left tackle, and I know they have a defensive tackle who can stop the run and gets after the passer better than anyone at his position, right? I got Burns, the edge rusher. I got an all-world young rookie, or now it'll be sophomore, wide receiver. I have cap space where I can restructure Dak's contract the minute he comes here and afford myself some, you know, draft space in the next year, certainly maybe 2 years, and I can go out and pay for T. Higgins maybe or another big-time wide receiver. The Giants can be competent next year with Dak Prescott. Yes, the questions will still arise of whether Dak Prescott is a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, whether Dak Prescott can get you to an NFC championship game, if Dak Prescott can get you to a Super Bowl. Those questions will persist, but Dak Prescott can win you a hell of a lot of football games. Those questions are answered. And if you can move back in the draft to 12 and maybe acquire other draft capital and get Dak Prescott to answer your quarterback situation for the next 5 years, suddenly the Giants, with Brian Daboll and his offense, have Dak Prescott, money to spend, Malik Nabers, Tracy, more draft equity. Maybe they draft an offensive lineman at 12. Like, the idea of Sanders going to the Cowboys, and as much as the Cowboys wouldn't want to move with the Giants necessarily, they might be in a position where it would really be cutting off their nose to spite their face, because they could be the only team that would make sense. Because there is no way Cleveland is making it. They have to get rid of Dak Prescott. Now, could they find Dak Prescott another landing spot and just make a straight-up draft pick trade with Cleveland? You know how much you're going to have to give up to move all the way to 12 if you're not giving Dak Prescott back in the deal? You move up to the Giants and give Dak Prescott, maybe the draft picks aren't so crazy to move from 12 to 3. And from 3, you can either move up one spot or Sanders can put his foot down and say, hey, he's not signing there. And maybe Cleveland figures something out. Like, that opens up a world of possibilities for the Giants to get a legitimate top 10, 12 quarterback in the NFL. The Giants will be a winning team next year. Next year. All this talk about, oh, the Giants are definitely going to lose next year. Look at that home schedule. Oh, it's a disaster. Oh, it's a disaster. They're not going to win for another couple of years. It's all pointless. They should have just fired Brian Daboll. If you have Dak Prescott with Brian Daboll, Malik Nabers, Tracy, a free agent wide receiver, because again, once you trade for Dak Prescott, you extend him, rework his contract, keep the salary cap space, go out and pay for a wide receiver, go out and buy offensive linemen. You'll have the 12th pick, draft an offensive lineman, draft a defensive tackle, draft what you believe could be a shutdown corner. You know, you could add other draft picks. Like, that is a positive way to turn this team around in 1 year. That's not ideal for me. I don't love the plan of turning it around in 1 year. I want to kind of rebuild. I want to draft a young quarterback. I want to set myself up for an opportunity to go win a Super Bowl. And I don't know if this does it, but it does what the owner says. It accomplishes the I'm running out of patience. It does end a lousy stretch of hideous Giants football. Everyone, every New York Giant fan who's listening right now, who even hates this idea, who doesn't think Dak Prescott is a Super Bowl champion quarterback, who doesn't think Dak Prescott is that good, who doesn't like this idea, doesn't want to do this, doesn't believe in Dak, hell, doesn't believe in Brian Daboll with Dak, whatever. All of you will be excited come September. Because Dak Prescott wins games. Dak Prescott and Lamb became a dominant combination. That could be Dak and Malik Nabers. This offense under Brian Daboll with Dak Prescott can work. And this can be a winning team to compete in this division next year. And I don't see another way where that could happen. I could see a rebuild. I could see drafting a young quarterback, giving Brian Daboll and Joe Shane time, and within 2 or 3 years, they're competing. But if the owner doesn't have a taste for that, if the owner doesn't have the patience for that, and Prime becomes the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and will do what move heaven and earth to figure out a way to have his son be the quarterback, it opens up a world of possibilities for the New York Giants. That would be a very interesting scenario. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen, but Jerry usually gets his guy. And if they can work something out, if Prime can have an idea before he signs on the dotted line that there is a legitimately good chance that he is going to be able to coach his son, you don't think that Deion Sanders would come be the coach of the Cowboys for the next 6, 7, 10 years, knowing that his son is going to be the coach, is going to be the quarterback? If he honestly believes his son is that caliber of player, who wouldn't want to coach the Dallas Cowboys with a young star quarterback that happens to be your son? I honestly think if he believes there's a pathway to having that happen, he'll take the job. And if he does, I honestly think there's a very good chance you could see the Giants and the Cowboys make a trade for Dak Prescott. I think it solves a lot of issues for both teams. 888-808-1019. Let's see if you guys think anything of the idea. Jose in Newburgh. What's up, Jose?
What's up? Funny how weeks change. I think last week, a week before, you were dead setting as anything other than drafting that quarterback.
In my heart of hearts, I still am, but the owner spoke as if they're not going to have time to do it right, which scares me now.
I'm nervous about that too, man, because, come on. Look, the trade back, I mean, the only thing is I don't know about these two guys because the worst of the world isn't in love with them, so I don't know anything about these college kids, but they're not a slam dunk, it seems like. I mean,
Very few are.
None of them are. Understand, but I say let's move back. Take a first-round pick from Dallas. I hate Dak. Do not extend him. He's never going to finish the season with us.
Well,
he's
under contract for 4 years. So if you trade for him, you're taking on his contract. So I only said extend him because that means you can manipulate the money and the cap space for this coming year and be able to sign guys. Because he's making his contract is $47 million next year.
Listen, it's hard because Dak doesn't finish seasons now. He's getting older. I don't believe in him. The thing is, I wouldn't mind trading back, getting the first round pick because Dallas is going to be trash next year. So we build up capital and then make a move for one of the quarterbacks.
Think Dallas is going to be disaster next year?
If they draft a rookie QB, man, they're not going to win more than.
Well, if they draft a rookie QB, okay. Well, I'm sorry. I thought we were under the. You kind of poo pooed the idea of trading for Dak, so I figured you were talking about Dak still being on the team.
No. If that happens, we'll take the draft pick from Dallas first rounder. That's good. And for next year, we can use that. Because they're not going to be any good, and we're not going to be any good.
Yeah, if they move up, if this whole thing with Sanders, I guess that makes sense. If they take Shedeur Sanders, it'll probably be a year of you know, figuring it out. Plus, again, tough division with two top teams. And if Dak Prescott is on the Giants, I think they're better than the Cowboys, for sure. They'd be a last-place team in that pick. Now, I don't know what the trade would be if you're getting Dak Prescott. I don't know how they view that. I'd have to look at the value of you know, trading a quarterback like Dak. He's 31 years old. He's born in July, so he'd be 32 at the start of next year. He's 32. He's making 47 this coming year, 40 the next, and 27 after that. And then 55 in 2028, but you can find a way out of the contract at that point. So I say extend him just to lower that number of $47 million so I can go spend more money on weapons around him. But, I mean, you win. Giants are a winning football team next year. I honestly, firmly believe that. Dak Prescott with the New York Giants, Malik Nabers, money to spend on another offensive weapon and maybe an offensive lineman. You have Illuminor at right tackle. You have Andrew Thomas at left tackle. You still got Runyon and guard. We'll see if Schmitz is a legitimate center or not, but you can buy some depth, right? At 12, you can probably draft another offensive lineman there instead of spending money on it, or you could draft a cornerback, or you could draft a pass rusher. You could try and draft, you know, another impact player at 12. It's not all the way down the draft. It's mid-draft. And I don't know if you'd get another first-round pick to move up from 12 to 3 if you get... You'll definitely get picks. I don't know if it would be a first-rounder. We'd have to figure out what the trade would be, but I'm just saying, this all changed for me when John Mara spoke, because now I think they have to win this year. So that would be appealing to me. And it would be an easy sell to John Mara. You're going to win. Dak Prescott's a winner. I shouldn't say that. Dak Prescott is a regular season successful winning quarterback. He was in the MVP conversation last season. Like him, Malik Nabers will have a great year with Dak Prescott being his quarterback. Let's go to Stu real quick. What's up, Stu?
Interesting conversation, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And Dak, I don't understand Mara's thinking. He wants to win now, but then you go to Dallas, you get Dak, you get to the playoffs, and what happens in the playoffs? Kaboom. It ends. He hasn't won. What has he won? Two playoff games since he's been a starter?
Who, Dak?
Yeah, Dak.
Yeah, I think he's won
two playoff games.
Is it two or three? But yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
And last year was a disaster against Green Bay.
Right. And he hasn't performed well.
Not in the postseason.
He performs well during the regular season.
Right.
But that's not the whole thing. The whole thing is to get to the Super Bowl.
No, is it?
Win.
Is it?
No, for Mara, obviously not.
That's what I'm saying. Like, do you want to, but I'm just saying, like, do you want to toil forever? Like, at some point, what if... Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what if Dak Prescott plays well in the... It's impossible? Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage? Maybe. But I don't know. You can win some games. Again, I'm not even saying I love this idea. I want to draft a quarterback. That's what I would love to do. I would love to figure out a way to draft Sanders, not find a way to get him to the Cowboys. I want to find a way to get Cam Ward in the building, not... You know, trade for a 31-year-old, 32-year-old quarterback. It's not my ideal situation, but it fits with the owner's plan. It fits with the owner's plan. And if they fired Shane and Dable, I probably wouldn't be talking like this. And if the owner came out and was willing to and showed that he's willing to give them time to rebuild this thing, I wouldn't be talking like this. But they kept Shane and Dable. And now he expects them to win this year. So it's not like rebuild time. And we'll see. But I just think it's a feasible scenario. And someone just tweeted me again, maybe not heard the beginning. Why would the Cowboys trade Dak to the Giants? They had picked third. Browns and Titans need to pick a quarterback. Why would trade to Dak? why wouldn't they trade Dak to one of them to get the pick? Well, again, you have to, one, you have to tell me Tennessee is willing to take Dak Prescott and all his money as opposed to their choice at quarterback. And two, Cleveland right now with their quarterback situation, I don't know if they can take on the money. Now, you're right, they could extend him, like I said, and manipulate the money a little bit, but are you going to have Dak Prescott and Deshaun Watson and both of those contracts on your team? I don't know if it's feasible for Cleveland to make that trade. And Dallas has to move on from Dak Prescott to do this. So, I mean, they could just trade picks with Cleveland and move and have Cleveland move back if Cleveland wants out of that pick. But you're not going to give them the quarterback. Like, the Giants get a quarterback so then they don't have to be number three. Like, right now, Cleveland's looking at taking a young quarterback and starting the process of getting away from Deshaun Watson with a young, cheap option at the top of the draft. Then they can't take Dak Prescott. The Giants can, you can sell them on, here's your new quarterback for the next 5 years. You can't sell that to Cleveland. But part of this also comes with talking Cleveland off the idea that they can't have Sanders. Like, Prime has to play the game that was played by Archie. Prime has to play the game that John Elway played. He has to tell Cleveland, I don't care if you draft him, he's not signing with you. And then they'd figure it out. Maybe they can move up from three. I'm just saying it opens up the idea of the Giants trading for Dak Prescott. Because they would have to get rid of Dak Prescott because it feels like the only way Prime takes this job, and I don't doubt it for a second that Jerry Jones wants it bad. They fire McCarthy hours later, literally, not even a full day later. He's talking to Deion Sanders. I mean, come on. This has been in Jerry Jones' mind for a while. He wants Deion Sanders. And if Deion Sanders is telling the truth when he says the only way he would do it is to coach his sons, well, if all, you know, zoodles or zaps, you remember those old test questions? If all ticks are tocks and all tocks are ticks, what if, you know, I don't know. You remember them on the SATs. 888-80, it's logic.
Talk about your Jets on the Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
I wish I found some better sounds no one's ever heard. All right, 3:37. Better voices, sang some better words. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Got you till 5 o'clock. 888-808-1019. So, yeah, just trying to, I mean, as we move on in the playoffs and we're trying to figure out who's going to be the Jets head coach, which, by the way, I think Mike McCarthy is a more than viable option for the Jets. I would bring back Aaron Rodgers, bring back Devontae Adams, and bring the coach in here. I would absolutely, that would be a very strong consideration for me. Because I think in some ways, you know, I think the Giants less so, but the Jets certainly, I want a stabilizing force. I just want to feel like I can win next year. I'm not interested in a rebuild. It's been too friggin' long. I know the Giants, at least the Giants had a playoff run a couple years ago. As bad as they've been since the last 2 years. I get it. But the Jets just can't continue to be the laughingstock of professional sports. They got to make the playoffs, man. They got to. And again, Aaron Rodgers, Mike McCarthy, Devontae Adams. Tell me you line up against Russell Wilson. You line up against you line up against Hurts and Herbert rather. I'm sorry. You line up against Herbert. You line up against Sam Darnold. I mean, these are the quarterbacks in the playoffs this year. And look what happened to him. I think this situation with the Cowboys can impact both teams, amazingly enough. But the Jets absolutely should go talk to Mike McCarthy. And as much for the Giants, as much as I would rather. I want to draft the freaking quarterback. Don't get me wrong. I've been saying it forever. I have not gotten off that. But I just don't know if the owner has a stomach for it. And the last thing I want to do is draft the quarterback and then change coaches on him because it wasn't good enough. So here's the quote from Prime. To hear from Jerry Jones is truthfully delightful and intriguing. I love Jerry and believe in Jerry. After you hang up and process it and think about it, it's intriguing. But I love Boulder and everything there is about our team, the coaches, our student body, and the community. So, I mean, that's not saying I wouldn't leave. That's not saying, it's saying, hey, listen, when you think about it, it's intriguing, but I am very happy where I am. So if McCarthy is out and Prime is in, which I don't think there's any doubt with how fast this came about, the first phone, you don't sign the contract with McCarthy, and the first call Jerry Jones makes is to Deion Sanders. He wants Deion Sanders. I don't think there's any doubt. And then the question is, does Deion insist on coaching his son? Because if he does, I think it opens up a possibility. Now, again, I don't know what the ramifications are for the Cowboys in trading Dak Prescott and what that does for the cap for them. But if you hire Prime and you draft the young quarterback or you bring in Sanders here, like, I don't know if you're expecting to win this next year. You're clearly not. You're starting some sort of rebuild. So if the cap hits rough for 2 years, you can live with it. I mean, you might lose, Micah Parsons is going to have to get paid soon. Different guys are going to have to get paid soon. So it's an interesting situation for what the Cowboys want to do. But considering the situation with Cleveland, I think trading up to 3 and the New York Giants might get them what they want. And if so, the Giants, at least the owner, could get what he wants, a stabilized quarterback that stabilizes the team. I honestly think Brian Daboll with Dak Prescott and Tracy as the running back and Malik Nabers is your number one, you know, go out there and spend money. If you bring in like T. Higgins, who's going to be the best free agent on the market, you draft a offensive lineman with the 12th pick, maybe add some depth to the offensive line position through free agency, bring in T. Higgins. That team, that offense can be dynamic. Be nice to see a dynamic offense around here. So, it's just a thought because it's, I think, obviously Jerry Jones wants him. I'm watching highlights of the Knicks had a disappointing loss to the Pistons. I mean, it's arguably their worst loss of the season. They got blown out by... They played really inconsistent basketball now. They've lost 5 of 6, right? They had that brutal loss against Orlando, who had all four top scorers out with injury, and they lose that game. Then they get absolutely blown out by the Thunder in a non-competitive basketball game. They turn around, they beat the Bucks handily, 44 points from Brunson, and now last night against the Pistons... They lose a tight game where down the stretch defensively, mistakes. Karl Anthony Towns has a terrible foul on a screen. And then another kind of unlucky thing where the ball goes off his hand off a lazy pass from Brunson, goes off the hand of a Piston, and then that goes off the hand of Karl Anthony Towns. They had too many wide open threes. They didn't defend very well on the perimeter. Just a disappointing loss, and you could argue it's the worst because, one, the Thunder is a legitimately great team, and yes, getting blown out and not showing up is disappointing considering they could have won the game on the road against the Thunder just a few games earlier. But, and even though Orlando was down some guys, they're a good team, and the Knicks were down Karl Anthony Towns. This was a Knick team that had everybody, was healthy enough. Brunson was playing, Cat was playing. And they lost to a lousy Pistons team who might be better than you think. Was it Cummings in this game? Was tough to stop. But that's a disappointing loss to the New York Knicks. And they have just, after that 9-game winning streak, they've been anything but consistent. And the defensive effort, and of course, you know, listen, they own up to it. Hart's talking about it. Coach is talking about it. Brunson's talking about it. They're talking about their effort, talking about what kind of team they're going to want to be. If they're going to, you know, if they're a team that can right now, here's the question with the New York Knicks. Can they win games when they don't shoot well? I mean, I know that's kind of become a question in this league that you can ask about every team, but if their shots aren't falling, and Bridges, again, after that, you know, big game where he scored 40 points and won it for the Knicks, and Josh Hart was asking everybody to write apology letters, he's been brutal since then. And overall, whether it's because of the amount of minutes, because of some of the injuries, because of, you know, the way things have gone over the last, you know, five or six games, the three-point shot, other than the other night against the Bucks, the shots aren't falling. And I mean, and that's really the question, because last year's team could have found a way to win if the threes weren't falling. They would have played tough defense. They would have out-rebounded you. You would have got enough from Brunson. You could have figured it out. Right now, I don't know if this team can figure out how to win if they're not scoring 125 points and they're not hitting threes at least a 30% clip. Like, I just don't know. Now, I know what they can be when those things are going well, and that's good enough to beat anybody. But to get through a seven-game series, they're going to have to figure out a way to win when they're not playing their best offensively. And the defensive performance they gave, especially perimeter defense, and the open looks they gave to this Pistons team, and some of the critical mistakes down the stretch, and some ugly shots. Payne took some ugly shots. Karl Anthony Towns thinks he's friggin' Steph Curry sometimes. I love him. He's having a great year. He's up for MVP. But, I mean, especially the top of the key, I mean, he'll shoot from 6-7 feet behind the arc. I mean, their shot selection gets lazy at times. Their defense gets lazy at times. And they're so, you know, they understand how reliant they are on the three-pointer that sometimes they just put them up. Like, early on in the year, I remember listening to Evan and going through it after he talked about it and looking at it. Like, early on in the year, I'd have to see if the numbers changed, but early on in the year, they were the highest percentage three-point shooting team and took the least. And so it was like, hey, you got to shoot more threes. Now it feels like, you know, other than maybe Hart going coast to coast or a dunk for OG Anunoby or, you know, Brunson either taking it to the lane or giving you the backup fade jump shot, every possession is you know, putting up threes. And I know that's the NBA, but they go through stretches here where they're just chucking them. And they took some really ugly ones in this game. This is a game they shouldn't have lost. And they need to be more consistent, and they need to be, you know, better defensively, and they need to find a way to win when the shots aren't falling. They need to find, and they have multiple ways to score, but it just seems like they haven't taken advantage of it or attempted it on any real level. They just keep shooting the shots, which I understand shooters got to shoot, but they also have to find ways to be a little bit tougher, play a little bit better defense, and find a way to win when they're not hitting threes. And over the last five or six games, the three percentage has been brutal. 888-808-1019. Talking a lot of football off of Wild Card Weekend and a miserable performance from so many teams. And last, but certainly not least, was the Minnesota Vikings, who their coach, Kevin O'Connell, had a miserable day. Again, I mentioned it reminded me a little bit of that 0-2 or 0-3 Super Bowl. I think it was the February 0-3, where it was the John Gruden Bucks, who obviously John Gruden's name has been out and about the morning show. Gio is championing him. Like, what? It's like the second time today I haven't been able to say championing. Anonymity. I heard Brandon Tierney say in the promo anonymity, and I struggle with that word too. I don't know why. But championing is not coming out this morning. But Gio has been all for John Gruden. We'll see if John Gruden gets a look-see at any of these jobs. But when he won the Super Bowl, that's what it felt like a little bit to me, because I knew the dynamic of, you know, the coach, the two coaches. Obviously, one was a mentor. O'Connell was the offensive coordinator for the Super Bowl team. And it just felt like he had, you know, McVay had the answer to everything. That was like that Super Bowl where you felt like the Raiders were probably the more talented team and certainly had the better quarterback in Rich Gannon, but just they had the Bucks were all over everything. It was like John Gruden knew everything they were trying to do. It was the perfect matchup. And it kind of felt like that. Like, they knew exactly, they were able to get pressure on Darnold. They were able to make Darnold, you know, confused. They were, and then even offensively, early on, they went down the field. Like, they just had every answer to whatever the Minnesota Vikings were trying to do. And then at the end of the game, they gave up. I mean, they literally gave up, Minnesota. They stopped trying. There was no urgency. They're down 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. No urgency. Clock running down the 3 before snapping it. Running, you know, still running the football. I was like, you know it's bad when Joe Buck is like, I know you want to stay balanced, but like, you have to stop running the football, right? It was awful. What a miserable performance. The second half of this game, the first half of the Steelers game, the second half of the Charger game, just like this weekend was marred with halves of just crap, give-up type football. I mean, we were talking at the end of this game, we're talking about, hey, where's the urgency? We're talking about at the end of the Pittsburgh game, where's the fight? Where's the toughness from the great Pittsburgh Steelers? At the end of the Chargers game, the second half, just like, what the hell happened to this team? What the hell happened to Herbert? The guy had 3 picks all year. He threw 4 in that game. That was an ugly showing from coach and quarterback. Started the weekend and ended the weekend. Ugly performances from high thought of head coaches and young, big-time seasoned quarterbacks. It started with Herbert and Harbaugh, and it ended with O'Connell and Darnold. Just miserable performances. Oh, my God. Play that call. Do you have that call? Again, from the Vikings Radio Network that Marco played in the update, because was it Paul Allen does the play-by-play? He is literally saying what every single football fan watching this game was saying last night. This was Minnesota Viking Radio Network. I think it's Paul Allen on the broadcast. Just a brutal night. And this is I forget which exact play this is, but it's the fifth sack. But it's just the dichotomy, or it's really the epitome, rather, of what happened all night long with Sam Darnold.
Him, Aaron Jones, Addison in motion to the right. 2 receivers left, Rams blitz. Darnold gets away from it, steps up in the pocket. He's holding it too long.
Just run.
Throw it, man.
Just run.
At the 25-yard line, he's sacked for a 5th time.
That's so great. He's holding on to it too long. I don't know if I've ever... the just throw it, man, I feel like I've heard before, but like... Just the abstract thinking, talking to yourself, like, he's holding it too long.
And the color guy adding in just run just tells run you it. That anything would have been a better option than holding the ball.
Anything. That is, he's holding it too long. I don't know if I've ever heard a broadcaster just, like, have a mental exercise with himself, just talking, like, what the hell is he doing? Like, unbelievable. That is so funny. Just throw it, man. That always reminds me of Teen Wolf. Shoot it, fat boy. Just throw it, man. That is so funny. But yeah, I mean, so many times he would have 75% of the throwing motion and then tuck it. Like, he was awful. He was so confused. He was so rattled. That is a game that is going to hang. I mean, we all joke about the ghosts and how that game lives with him. I mean, that was just a Monday Night Football game for a dead season against New England Patriots where no one expected him to be successful. This is a 14. Like, he answered those questions of the ghosts, right? He failed with the Jets. He bounced around. He won some games for Carolina and played relatively well before they decided to move on from him. He came here and immediately, they were playing great football. They kicked the crap out of the Giants, which isn't saying much. But, I mean, they went out 14-3. They were playing for the 1 seed last week against the Lions. He's had a great year. And these 2 games, and particularly this one last night, is going to live with him. He's going to have to answer the questions on why he just lost it. I mean, he looked unable to make decisions, which is very difficult for a quarterback. I mean, that's the job. Yes, you got to be accurate. Yeah, you got to make it. You got to have a strong arm, but you got to be quick in your thought process and make decisions. And he was incapable of making decisions. He's holding it too long. Like, that was just a brutal performance from Sam Darnold. And it, you know, it's, the ramifications could be felt throughout the league. A young quarterback, you know, dealing with a knee injury, who was drafted, you know, by the Vikings last year, and J.J. McCarthy might have been on the, might have been out there, might have been someone other teams could trade for, might have been out there on the market. I don't know how you move on from a top draft pick that you invested in last year with the way Sam Darnold's played these last two games. It has to scare you. You can't go into next year feeling uber confident. Now, you could franchise tag him and have a healthy competition. That's a lot of assets. You know, that's a lot of money to pay the quarterback. But I don't know if he's played his way out of being kept in Minnesota, and I don't know if he's played his way into being the guy. Like, I think he's played his way out of being the guy for sure. But, I mean, they were, I don't know what the market's going to bring for him, because we were talking about Sam Darnold getting, we've been talking about the Dak Prescott contract, comparable, 28 years old, was in the MVP conversation this year, throws the hell out of the ball, that's never a doubt. He's got a great arm. He's won a lot of games. He's gone down the field. He's thrown touchdown passes. He's done everything you would want in a young, still, you know, good, solid quarterback in this league. All the promise of a top draft pick, the age, you know, 28 years old, MVP-like season, if it weren't for, you know, Allen and Lamar, he'd be somewhat in the conversation. But, I mean, these last two games have got to scare you. So, who's going to give him a contract, and is J.J. McCarthy available? 888-808-1019. We found that all out in one night. And to be totally honest with you, although it wasn't necessarily their defense that was the issue, Brian Flores is out there as one of the prime candidates to get the Jet job, one of the prime candidates to get a job here in the NFL. These last 2 weeks, he got overrun by the Lions. And early on in this game, the passing attack of the Rams kind of had their way with him. And, you know, he's a tough quarterback to blitz. I mean, Stafford's been around the league. Stafford's a veteran. Stafford's one of the more underrated players in this league and one of the more underrated quarterbacks in this league, and he can handle the blitz. You're not going to surprise him with anything, and you go against some of these better offenses. You know, Brian Flores hasn't done, the last two games really shine a bad light on him, too. Everyone associated with this Vikings team took a hit the last 2 weeks.